condo craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, except for last Sunday, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from 1 minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condominium and HOA questions. So give us a call right here in the studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And, of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, you can sign up for our free seminars, you can see who the show sponsors are and visit all of their websites, and you can automatically link to our Facebook page and join in our own discussions about the show or start your own discussion board and get feedback from everybody else.
And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you will meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 877 the number 4 Condo Craze. Again, that's 877 the number 4 Condo Craze. And you can visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. And before we get going, Happy Father's Day. All of the fathers out there listening. Hope you have a wonderful Sunday. Great Father's Day.
Yes. Well, last week we had a well-deserved week off. And Eric, I understand that you took care of both some business and some pleasure.
Yes, I did, Karen. I actually flew up to New York and got sworn in both the Southern District of New York and the Eastern District of New York. So now I can also practice in the federal courts of New York as well as the state courts. And that, of course, was the business part of the trip. And for the pleasure part, the family and I went to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Hershey Park, Philadelphia, and, of course, Manhattan. Great part of the country.
Your son made a chocolate bar?
We made our own Hershey bars. It was fantastic. Really great trip if you got kids. Highly recommended.
Hey, you want to hear something funny, Karen?
What?
You want to talk about a guy who knows how to work the system? I think Glazer might be the only person I've ever heard of who actually is allowed to practice in New York without ever having passed the New York State bar exam.
That's a true story.
How is that possible?
That's a true story. And, you know, New York actually has a unique way of getting admitted without taking the New York State bar exam. If you're an attorney for 5 years and you're licensed in a jurisdiction that has reciprocity with New York, you fill out the forms, you fly up there for an interview, and then you get sworn in. So I certainly had the 5 years, but I had to get admitted in Washington, D.C. first.
I heard. That's how I heard the Florida bar bribed New York to just take you.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can't prove that, I don't think. But as long as D.C. had reciprocity with New York, I was in, and that's without taking the exam. You know, I never actually took the SAT. But that's for another show.
Yeah, it shows.
Please tell me you actually passed the Florida bar exam.
Yeah, the Florida bar exam I did actually pass. You know, you don't have to worry about
it. How many swipes did it take?
8 tries a charm? No. First time, as a matter of fact. Isn't that a line from Joe Pesci? No, 6 times are a charm, something like that.
Yes, from my cousin Vinny.
You don't have to worry. Neither myself nor any attorney at Glazer & Associates has ever failed the bar exam.
Wonderful.
Even Scott passed on his first time.
Very nice.
Yeah, well, what can I tell you? Good for Scott.
All right. Well, on our last show, we had Sean Virtue from Smith, Watson & Parker as our guest, and he started to educate our listeners about what is and what isn't covered under the condo's insurance coverage. And some of our listeners were surprised to learn that they better go out and purchase their own insurance in order to be covered should a storm hit.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people were actually surprised to learn what's not covered last week. And this week, Sean is back to talk about Florida's very controversial new insurance laws, which the governor and the Florida legislature overwhelmingly supported, but which critics, including Senator Fasano, who we had on the show a few weeks ago, say is going to be catastrophic for Floridians and result in insurance rates going through the roof with actually less coverage than before. But, Sean, before we talk insurance, a lot of people have been asking what our next Condo Craze certification seminar is, and I'm proud to tell everyone that Smith, Watson, Parker has arranged a certification course for this coming Friday at noon. Again, that's June 24th, 2011 at the Skolnick Center in Pompano Beach. And you've been kind enough to tell us that there are still a few seats available if anybody out there wants to get certified this coming week. So if you do want to attend that Condo Craze Board certification course, give our law firm a call at 954-983-1112 and we can make arrangements for you. Welcome back, Mr. Virtue.
Oh, thank you very much, Eric. It's always a pleasure.
And, well, let's go right to the real hot topic. The Palm Beach Post reported 2 weeks ago that a sweeping and controversial measure aimed at reducing costs to property insurers and liability for taxpayers was signed by Governor Rick Scott, who said it was a significant first step in restoring the private insurance market in Florida. Now, we heard Senator Fasano come out against his own party on the show, and he said that he was against the bill because he thought it would actually make insurance rates rise in Florida. But I know you disagree. But I think in order to intelligently agree or disagree with that statement, we need a little history lesson here as to why there's basically no competition in the state of Florida for obtaining property insurance and why we're almost, you know, forced to get insurance through only Citizens. How is it that when you call your agent, they tell you, sorry, there's basically only one carrier that we can provide coverage for? So
sure.
How do we get here?
Well, Citizens is the insurer of last resort. So let me just quickly explain what that means. The insurer of last resort is not a unique concept for Florida property building insurance. If you have five DUIs, no one's going to want to offer you insurance, and there is the same thing for car insurance. There is an insurer of last resort. If you are a demolition company and you handle explosives, it's very hard to get workers' comp coverage. So there is a workers' comp of last resort in every state of the union. So that the insurer of last resort is always supposed to be where you can go if really there truly is nobody else that will insure you. And before 2007, the basic rule was they would take the most expensive private rates that existed on the market, and they would add 15%. So that the consumer would naturally stay away from Citizens because they were the most expensive. But after Katrina and Wilma, the companies got backed up and backlogged. And because of New Orleans, there was a labor shortage and there was a fight to get adjusters to be in Florida. They were all pulled to New Orleans. And the construction costs were higher. And the public, rightfully so, was very angry at the insurance industry. And in 2007... they were punished by the previous administration, and because they figured out Citizens is actually a Florida statute. Florida statute 627.351, subparagraph 6. So if you're in the legislature, you can vote laws and force Citizens, and the governor can sign it, to do things that will change what the company does.
Right.
Now, insurance companies in the private market have a floor at which they cannot go below because they have to have enough money to pay claims, and they have to prove that to the state authorities in order to be in business. In other words, Eric, if I tell you I'm going to insure your car for $50 a month and you drive a Cadillac and you say, hey, that's a great deal, Sean, no problem, and you start paying me $50 a month, and then 2 years down the line you call me up and say, hey, my car got stolen, I need a check. And I never had an intention to pay you, so I say, sorry, going bankrupt. Now, that's not insurance. That's a scam.
Right.
And we know that. Insurance is a statistics engine. They figure out with statistics, they take data points, how many storms have come through and how much damage have they done depending on the type of construction, where the building is located, how old it is, and they know, okay, we have to charge this much in order to have the money for a claim. And they add 20% so that they can, you know, pay for the bills and their staff and stuff like that.
But Citizens didn't have to comply with those exact
requirements. So that's the floor.
Right.
The private companies can't go below. You know, I mean, it's a break-even point, basically.
Right.
And then there's just a little bit where they try to make a profit. Now, the legislators figured out we can tell citizens to literally chop the price in half. It was as if citizens opened up gas stations across the state and sold gas for $1 a gallon.
Gotcha.
Right, so now everyone would – so the customer base of the private insurance companies fled and went to the insurer of last resort, and now they have a majority of the market. That was one of the ways the insurance industry was punished.
So Citizens, to cut to the chase, Citizens was supposed to be the bottom line, the insurer of last resort for all our condominiums out there, right?
Yes.
For windstorm coverage, et cetera, right? But they wound up instead of being
– first resort.
They actually wound up being the only resort. And instead, we have a situation where today there is simply no competition in the market.
Well, right, because there's a government agency that sells the same product at a price that you cannot possibly compete legally.
All right, let's do this. Let's take our first break. I see we got some calls on the line already. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. When we get back, I want to actually talk about what the specifics of the bill actually does and how it's specifically going to affect all of our Florida policyholders out there. Okay, we'll be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm joined by attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We're joined as well by Sean Virtue as an insurance guru, and we have several calls on the line that have been holding for quite a while. Rio from Aventura, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I really want to get back to the dog and cat situation, mostly the dogs. I want to know what's happening to the rights of people who are allergic to animals and or people who would just don't like animals when they move into a condo and they expect there to be none.
Right, well.
But also these people who have animals who cannot take care of them, who do not poop or scoop, and purposely let these animals make in elevators, catwalks.
I hear you, Rio. I hear you. You know, the thing is, all I can say is stay tuned, because this is something we're actually working on. We have more than one case where we're taking the position that you're advocating for in a number of different venues. In fact, we have a case in another county where a woman has this gigantic dog. I mean, I don't know. It's not a German Shepherd. It's much, much larger. Like Marmaduke. What is that? What kind of dog is that again?
I forgot.
Great Dane, I think. And
I am an animal lover.
But the fact is, you know, she actually has a litter box on her terrace. And I mean, this dog, you know, as big as it is, you can imagine what it does when it has to go. And she claims that she can't walk the dog because of some sort of disability. And the fact of the matter is, that was tossed out by HUD when she made the complaint against us that we were discriminating against her for saying you can't basically make the condo smell like your dog's feces. But she hired some lawyers, and we're fighting that now. And, you know, again, you have to stay tuned on what the rights of, you know, everybody else are, because the state really hasn't made a decision on that.
Right.
Well, we won in court. You know, we won in court.
Well,
and we still can't get rid of the animal.
Who's
where
we?
This woman is letting this animal.
Oh, you know, I can't. Okay, first of all, I know what you're talking about. We're not your attorneys anymore, and I'm not going to comment on a specific case. But yes, you won in court numerous times. But I can't comment on that right now. We're not involved in the case anymore.
Rio, thank you for the call. We're going to take Rob from Jupiter.
Hi there.
How are you, Rob?
I'm doing pretty good. Got a good question. I'm glad you got, you're a big help to a lot of people.
Thank you very much.
I live in Jupiter in a HOA, 15 years. And recently, I've got a little pickup truck, and twice I've gotten written up for having it parked in the driveway. But one of my neighbors said that if you park it in the street, the HOA cannot do anything to you because it's a public street. Is that correct?
No, that's probably not correct. Even if it's parked, you know, right outside your home on the street, I can guarantee you that your Declaration of Covenants and Restrictions contain language in there that would allow the association to fine you, guilty of a violation of the documents and take action against you.
You've probably heard, the term selective enforcement. I've got a neighbor exactly around the lake, 180 degrees, that the truck's been sitting out for 2 years, and I've complained, and they don't do anything, so I was hoping that this was true.
Well, selective enforcement, again, it's a shield and it's not a sword. And what do I mean by that? That if the association would come after you and actually sue you to get rid of your truck, you'd be able to say, hey, wait a minute, I have the defense of selective enforcement because I know of somebody who for 2 years has a truck and you're not doing anything about them. So you would perhaps be a successful affirmative defense on your part. Okay?
I couldn't get that with the...
If they would come after you, you might have a successful affirmative defense showing that it is selective enforcement, that they're not going after your neighbor, but instead of selectively enforcing the laws against you. And if you can prove that up in a court of law, that's right, you get to keep your truck.
Should he be taking pictures of the neighbor's
Absolutely. Take those pictures. There you go. Smart idea, Karen.
I have been doing that, and since I got this last letter the other day, it's going to be every morning at 5:45 a.m. and every night about 10 o'clock. So.
There you go. Smart move. Okay. All right.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you, Rob.
Really
thanks for the phone call.
Great.
All right. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. On this happy Father's Day, let's get back to Sean Virtue. Sean, before the break, we were talking about what the new bill actually does. I mean, yeah, everybody's screaming and yelling that it's good, it's bad, but nobody's actually spoken about really what does this new law do? How about walking through what the bill actually does?
Well, Eric, for the show, I've pulled out five basic points that are, I think, relevant to the listeners, and let me just go through them. The first thing is about sinkholes. Sinkholes, there was a projection as to how much they would cost. And after the laws were changed in 07, there are many more sinkhole claims than were expected, to the point that it's bankrupting the insurance industry. So Tallahassee has stopped that with SB 408. They narrowed the definition of a sinkhole loss to the main building. So you can't claim that you have a sinkhole because you have a crack in the driveway, a sidewalk, or on your pool deck, for example. And they also shortened the statute. They brought it back to what it is in all the other states of the union,
right?
To the reasonable amount of years. The second thing it does is public adjusters are going to have to change their contracts, their compensation, and their advertising. Their fee for a reopened claim is now capped at 20%.
Was there a cap before that?
I'm not sure exactly what that was, but I do know undisputedly the facts are the insurance industry paid out $1 billion in the last 5 years from reopened claims, 90% of which were filed by public adjusters.
Right.
So here's the third point, and I'm going to quote here the former insurance subcommittee chairman, Don Brown. There's something called RCV versus ACV, replacement cost versus actual cash value. If you have a car accident and you say, you know what, I need my money now, they pay you the value of the car the day it was crashed, not how much you paid for it 2 years ago.
Right.
That's called actual cash value. And that's the way it works in every state in the union. In 2007, to punish the insurance industry, they forced the insurance companies to pay up the replacement cost up front. So it would be like they'd have to buy you a new car instead of paying you what it was worth when you had the day of the accident.
Even though you hadn't purchased it properly.
Exactly. So now putting in a claim became profitable. You weren't just made whole. To submit the claim, there was a profit motive involved.
Right.
And if you were part of helping that and you got a cut, then there's an incentive and it became a party for a lot of people. And those who spoke out against it, Chairman Brown says, this legislation simply restores Florida law for dwelling repairs only to that similar to other 49 states where actual cash value is dispersed immediately. In other words, let's say you want to start using a bicycle. You don't want to use a car anymore. They give you what your car was worth, and it's fair is fair. That's what the contract was. But if you want to replace the car and you have a replacement cost, then they will buy you the new car. So in that case, where the actual cash value is dispersed immediately and the difference between the value and replacement cost is dispersed when the insured arranges to make repair. So we are now coming back to what the other 49 states are doing. Before, it was abnormal.
So it's not enough to say, I'm going to make my repairs, I promise. The insurance company, before paying you now, wants to see that you actually contracted to make those repairs.
That's
before,
it. Yeah. And the other side of the debate is saying, they call it a holdback, and they're saying people are going to have to front the money to repair, and that's not the case.
Gotcha.
Now, the fourth point is they're changing the funding requirements in the background for insurance companies to try to encourage them to come back into the state. So condo insurance agents soon are going to be able to have more choices. They're going to have more companies that they're going to be able to offer insurance from. Now, because the rules that allow agents to obtain quotes, and this is important, from unregulated companies, they're called surplus lines, the rules to obtain the quotes have been eased. Now, the key word is unregulated. When you get a policy from a surplus lines policy, it's more important than ever that you have an agent that you, one, trust, two, that is competent, and three, that is with an agency that has financial backing. Because if you're insured by a company from Australia, Singapore, London, like Lloyd's, and something goes wrong, the only person you can really go after right away is the agent and the agency. So if you have a small agency, you're not going to get a lot. But Smith, Watson, Parker is huge in terms of – is very solid, and we provide references. And if there is a problem, we're there for you. Okay,
let's do this. I can see the music starting to play in the background. Let's go to our half-hour break, taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
Welcome back to the second half of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis. I'm joined by attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, and also Sean Virtue of Smith Parker and Watson. Sorry. And we're taking your calls as well, but let's get back to Sean because he's got so much to cover here.
Absolutely. Sean, very basic question when it comes to this whole insurance concept on how we work here in Florida. Citizens, as we know, insurer of last resort, right? Basically,
yes.
A lot of the private companies after the storms got out of Dodge and they left Florida, and leaving us again with Citizens. Now, Citizens is publicly funded, right?
Yes.
I mean, how do they get their money to pay, the claims? It's gotten by way of, is it taxpayer money?
Oh, no. Well, first of all, they got an infusion of $700 million a few years ago, which helped them stay in the business. But they charge a premium. The competitive advantage they have is they can charge what I would call a pre-storm, pre-loss rate, which is like half. So they're asking you for half up front. And the theory was, if we run out of money, we can always issue bonds or we can tax other policies. So in other words, in the private sector, if I tell you I'm going to insure you for $100,000 for 1 year, I can't. That's it. That's the price, regardless of what happens. Now, next year, I can try to increase the price and justify it or not, but that is the price. It doesn't change. Citizens, in the middle of the policy, can send you a letter and say you need to give us 30% in the next 30 days because we need some cash.
Really?
So the fifth point that I'm bringing up out of this SB 408 is that now all citizens policies. Applications are going to have a paragraph that the boards are going to have to initial so that they will be made aware of specifically that they may have to pay up an additional 45% in premium. Because, as I said, in the private sector, the price is the price. And a lot of people aren't aware of the fact that, hey, yes, it is a great premium, but, oh, by the way, you might have to pay, 5, 10, 30% further down the line. And right now, we still have a surcharge from a previous storm.
Right.
It's like on the phone bill. You've got that universal phone charge, and it's like 1%, so nobody really, argues. So, well, we have that right now, but with insurance policies where they've tacked on this little percentages, and it can keep going on.
So it's funny. So you're saying if you're going to be insured with Citizens now, you, in order to maintain the insurance, you're going to have to sign basically an acknowledgement that, hey, my rates may go up as much as 45% midstream.
Midstream.
Well, it's interesting because it kind of reminds me of like the current condo law, where in condominiums, if you want to waive the reserve funding, if you have your reserve accounts in your condo, you can do so, but you're going to knowingly sign basically a waiver that says, hey, I know by voting against reserves, if a storm hits, I can be taxed with huge special assessments, so I better be careful of what I'm about to get into. And I guess that's what that new part of the statute's actually doing. It's warning you that, hey, your rate may be good for now, but it's not guaranteed should a storm actually hit.
And that's on the front side of the story. On the back side of the story, and Julie Patel of the Sun Sentinel had an article on Friday where she explained that the governor and Kevin McCarthy, the commissioner of insurance, the commish, were briefed on the state of Citizens because they know that the state bond ratings and Wall Street knows that the state's finances are tied into Citizens, and that is a huge burden on the state's books.
Well, this bill is something that the governor obviously really wanted passed, and he's quoted as saying, we've got to recruit other insurance companies and make sure Citizens goes back to being the insurance company of last resort. And our current insurance commissioner, like you say, Kevin McCarthy, he also supports the bill, and he's on record as saying that this bill focuses on addressing cost drivers in the system and will yield long-term benefits for Florida by stabilizing the property insurance market and attracting new capital investment to our state. So I guess I take it you certainly agree with each of their comments.
Absolutely. I mean, the legislature and the administration of the state of Florida, they seem to have gotten it in the sense that they passed a bill that is helping make Florida a more attractive environment for the insurance industry. Because up until now, Florida was like this dark alley where if you went there, you would get mugged. And the police was not going to respond.
Right.
And so, of course, the insurance companies stayed away. So now, the changes in the reinsurance laws, the surplus lines rules, which are the rules for the insurance companies that are not regulated, like Lloyd's, that's going to promote competition. The return of competition is the light at the end of the tunnel for Floridians. They will have a choice between standard and premium pricing, which will be reflected in standard or premium customer service and claims processing. They will turn to government-provided property insurance only if there is no other choice available. And in the end, if you go down the cereal aisle at Publix and there's only one brand of cereal, is that consumer friendly?
No.
Trying to bring back different brands of cereal, isn't that really being consumer friendly? So that is the position that I'm trying to put out there, is we're trying to help by bringing in more companies.
Right.
And then people can choose. I'm a veteran and I'm insured by USAA. Now, I called Geico, and yes, Geico's $30 cheaper a month, and I could have switched. Now, on I-95, I avoided debris coming at me, and I crashed my car on the median. Within 3 days, I had the money wired into my bank account. So I know that I'm paying a little bit more, but I know I'm getting incredible service.
Right.
But I could have gone for the cheaper price, and so it's always the same thing. You get what you pay for. If you have cheaper pricing, the service, because they don't have the funding behind it, might take longer. It might be disputed because there's just more things to argue.
Sure.
So that's the whole point. Competition will give consumers, which are condo associations, the choice again. Now, I'm not talking about personal lines insurance, which is for the inside of the condo units or for the houses, because there's about 50 companies out there plus, and they're taking a risk at about between $100,000 and $1 million a policy. I'm not talking about those companies. I'm talking about insurance companies that are betting, well, it's not the right term, that are insuring for $50 million. I insure a property that's worth $100 million in Palm Air. That's $100 million. They're providing a few hundred thousand with a promise that if there's a problem, they're going to be given $100 million. Now, you have to find a company that's willing to put $100 million on the line. And I am not aware of any new company that's willing to come into the state right now.
Right.
And SB 408 is not the panacea because we haven't fixed the pricing problem with Citizens. But it's a beginning. It's a first step to bringing sanity back to South Florida insurance.
Well, interestingly enough, there's not a lot of agreement on the bill, even in the governor's own party. And in fact, Senator Fasano is against the bill, and he believes that the changes are going to leave many policyholders at risk of losing private insurance altogether, and they're going to wind up being forced to go to Citizens, and that's exactly what the bill intended to avoid. And in fact, he's quoted as saying that he believes every condo owner, every mobile homeowner, and every small business owner are going to be paying higher premiums to private insurers, and they're going to see their rates skyrocketing within the next 18 months. But I take it you don't agree.
Well, I just found before the show an article in the St. Pete's Time, April 4th, where Senator Fasano was speaking for 408. So something happened in between where he decided he was not going to support it. The current chairman of the House Subcommittee on Banking, Representative Nelson, has responded to Senator Fasano by saying the object of this bill, SB 408, was to reduce the cost factors, which is they punish the insurance companies by making it easier to collect on claims. So they're reducing the cost factors. These sinkhole claims are going to be more difficult to just get free money on. And they're trying to entice major carriers to come back to Florida, that they're not going to get beat up by the regulators or, you know, they're trying to help with the capitalization. They're trying to do all sorts of things to bring back. And I'm starting to see that. You have a good source named Joan Collier of Florida Underwriter Magazine. She's been tweeting about reinsurance companies being approved, and she's been doing about one or two or three a week, I've noticed. So maybe it's the beginning of the trickle down. The reinsurance companies are starting to be authorized, and now that's going to allow capitalization for new carriers to come in. So, you know, Don Brown, again, he's the former chairman. He dismisses the notion that this bill creates a rate increase. And up until this bill was signed, basically, Florida was a hostile environment for insurance companies, where changes were made in reaction to public distress after Katrina and Wilma. Now, these changes were making things worse. And wisely, the elected leaders in Tallahassee, they understand this now, and they're making the appropriate call. The winners are Floridians, who will begin to see more choices available to them. The losers are the ones who have been profiting off filing claims.
Well, I guess time is going to tell, and it's certainly no surprise to me that the governor is seeking to get the state out of the insurance business. And, of course, all this chaos and confusion as we're just about ready to start the hurricane season and go into full bloom. But let's take our final break of the hour, taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Sal and John, we see you hanging there. We'll be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to our final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis. We've got attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates and Sean Virtue from Smith, Watson, Parker. And taking your phone calls, we'll go to Sal from West Palm Beach. You've been holding for quite some time, Sal. Thank you very much. You're on the air.
Oh, hey, thank you. I would like to know if a board member, he's been on the board for like 20 years, and we're going to vote on a contract. Can he vote on a contract even if he's not there, like by notarized letter because of his wife's real sick and he's at hospice all day?
Good question. This we actually teach this at the seminar. You know, basically, can a board member vote by proxy? And the answer to that question is no, they cannot do it. I see Karen shaking her head. They can do it on the phone. I'm very proud of you. You know that? That's right.
Another board member at the meeting or something?
They can appear at the board meeting by speakerphone. And what do I mean by that? You can have a speakerphone.
I know what speakerphone
at the board,
is.
And you got to make sure, though, that the audience gets to hear that board member, and the board member gets to hear the audience, okay?
But he can't vote with a notarized note.
Cannot vote with a notarized statement, cannot give a power of attorney to his buddy on the board, nothing like that. He either has to show up in person or there's got to be a speakerphone present.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sal.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that question always comes up at the seminar, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
All right, Sean, before we let you go, very interesting article this week in the Palm Beach Post about the cost of insurance coverage going up for Floridians simply because the cost of reinsurance for the insurance companies themselves are going up due to all of the natural disasters that we're seeing all over the country and even overseas, like in Japan. Can you fill us in as to whether or not you believe Floridians are ultimately going to be paying higher premiums for disasters that aren't even occurring in the state of Florida?
Yes.
Well, how does that work?
Short answer.
Tell
but
us
But
why.
You know, the reverse is true. When we get obliterated by a huge storm, like Andrew back in the 80s,
The 90s.
The reciprocal is true also. Everyone else pitches in.
Right.
What you have for reinsurance is you have vast pools of money that are sitting in tax havens like Bermuda, the Caymans, Luxembourg. And that is one of the factors that makes insurance go up, is because they're competing for those pools of money.
Right.
And you've got things like natural disasters. Remember, there was New Zealand, they had a big
earthquake. Right.
That people have to pay to rebuild that. Fukushima is just massive.
Right.
Now, that's the natural disaster part of the cost driver. Another part of the cost driver is the world economy. And I was watching Fareed Zakaria this morning, and I found out that if you're a Greek person that's in the government and you want to the Greek government wants to borrow money, they used to pay 3%. Now they're paying 30 for their bonds because they're about to default. And then Portugal's coming behind. Then you've got Spain. So the European Union's pretty shaky right now in terms of those world financial issues. So the supply of money is also a cost factor for reinsurance.
So bottom line is, as goes perhaps Europe, as goes the economy, so goes our insurance rates in the long haul?
Well, it's not the only factor. But these things do matter on a global stage, and it does affect us in Florida.
Right. Yes, affecting us in Florida. I think I saw yesterday's paper, wasn't it? We are now officially at an all-time high in terms of unemployment rate in Miami-Dade County, somewhere around 13.4%, if you can believe it.
But it has overall in the state gone down.
It's gone down.
Since Governor Scott got in there. But in Miami, it's a different story.
Because all of the building has come to a
stop.
And I tell you, I keep saying it, but, you know, I just remember a couple of years ago driving down to downtown Miami. And I think at one point we had something like 40 or 50 cranes in the sky at any one time. The skyline was actually incredible. And you would see thousands and thousands of workers in the street and, you know, on the building, you know, putting the buildings together. And you got to wonder today, what are all of these guys doing?
Right.
What are they doing on this Father's Day?
Or
really?
They moved.
You know, I mean, where are they waking up tomorrow? Where are these guys going to work? You know, it's really, really frightening to see. But, Sean, I continue to get lots and lots of compliments about the work that you do for so many of the clients of Glazer & Associates that we sent to you for their insurance help. And how can our listeners get in touch with you? Should they have questions or concerns about their insurance costs?
Well, I'm always glad to help. 954-815-9377 is my direct cell number. I also have a blog that I put up to be informative and just to help. So people can learn, and they take away that gut feeling. You know when your car breaks down and you take it to the mechanic, and you're like, is he going to overcharge me?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same feeling for the insurance guy. I get that. Well, I always go to Wales Garage because I've taken my car there, and I said, my rear tail lights aren't working, and I know you have to replace the whole circuit board, and it's a few $100. I came back later that day, and they said, I just need $5. It was just one bulb. He could have replaced the thing just like I asked him and charged me the $300 or $200, but he only charged me $5. So I trust that guy, and when my car breaks down and won't start, I specifically tell the tow truck, you will take it to this garage,
right?
Because that's the guy that I trust. Same thing with your insurance agent. If you trust your insurance agent, then that's the one you want. But that's the topic of another discussion, how to pick your agent. Now, I have a website, condoinsuranceexplained.com.
Easy.
That's easy to remember, condoinsuranceexplained.com. There's also – there are good resources out there. You've got insuringflorida.org, which is a great website, you know, where they just try to help people out by letting them know this is what's going on. You have propertycasualty360.com, which is another great source. Anyway, check it out. If you want to learn about condo insurance and how can you bring the price down, or what is D&O, or why do we have to have a fidelity bond, what's going on with liability coverage, condoinsuranceexplained.com.
I can tell you from experience, Sean is basically nonstop when it comes to educating his clients and educating, you know, some of his followers.
Information.
Right, just constant sending us articles on, you know, insurance law, sending us all kinds of tweets and emails and stuff like that, and we very much appreciate it.
Yes.
It was a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you very
much.
So
today we heard the other side of the story. Thank you again for another great week here on Condo Craze and HOAs, and again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers listening out there. We'll see you next week.